Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the episode of Sandy's. Though I got my crazy dog just barking that somebody's coming in. But anyways, we're going to talk about this past Sunday's Extreme Rules, the weekly news, and also what happened on Raw and SmackDown this past Sunday. So, is all the guests in?
I'm here.
I'm here. Okay, that's 2 out of 3.
All right, and this must be the other one just calling in. So let me just get him in there, and there we go. So.
Yo.
Hey, Sarah.
Yo.
Well, from what you had posted yesterday. Tyler?
Wait, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, just talk about like what was going on yesterday.
What was going on yesterday?
You mean going on with me?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, not too much. I've just been volunteering at Festa Italiana for the last 2 days.
Yeah, what do you do?
What did I do? I was working for Papa Luigi's for like 4 hours each day, which is awesome. I get free Italian food. I've been doing it for like the last 5 years, just volunteering.
That's cool. They give you admission and some food. And
oh, yeah, I get all the food I can eat. It's pretty ridiculous.
What time you got to be down there?
Let's see. I started at 10 and lasted till 2 yesterday and today.
Okay.
Was it like a thing? Was it like a thing going on that day?
Festa Italiana. No wrestling, just volunteering.
No, they have
all
those festivals, AJ. They have all those festivals. German Fest is next.
Yeah, I was down there this morning. I was down there working this morning. There was a big race for Northwestern Mutual this morning, but we were out of there before you got there, Skyler.
Oh, I did see that. That was blocked off both days, and I couldn't go in that way. I was very upset about it.
sorry.
My car was parked down there.
Sorry.
I'm glad I wasn't down there, and I worked down there.
Yeah, I thought it was like some wrestling that was going on. That's why I kind of asked. Like, I knew like all the other festivals and stuff was going down there. I just thought some wrestling was going on.
I think there's wrestling for Mexican Fest down there.
Yeah, that's coming up for sure.
I used to wrestle at Mexican Fest. I did it a couple years in a row. I haven't done it recently.
But I think besides Summerfest, that's the only one that has wrestling.
I also wrestle at Labor Fest. That is the whatever Labor Day is. I can't remember. September or something like that.
Fourth, I believe. Third.
Really, they have wrestling on Labor Fest? I don't know.
Yep.
That one.
Yes, every year.
And it's free. Labor Fest is completely free. I've been there for like the last maybe like 6 years, 7 years.
Is that MIAW?
It is.
Maybe
that's
all four of us will be down there this year then.
Nice.
Probably make like a you've been out of it or something.
And maybe we can now all finally be together in one spot at the same time.
That's true.
Yeah, I know. I know, right?
Yeah, we have to have a meeting about stuff, so that'll be coming up, hopefully.
Yeah, because I've only ever met two of you in person.
Nice.
You've never met AJ?
No.
Oh, that's weird.
Well,
if I did,
knows
I didn't
me.
Know who it was.
Yeah, everybody knows our
Charles. Yeah,
everybody knows AJ.
Yeah. Well, I don't know
Skyler,
if I've ever
we've
met
seen
him
Russell. Mark, I just met you, but we went to the same high school, which is really weird.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
Anything can happen. But what was everybody takes of extreme rules? We'll start with Gary.
I am on the fence a little bit because there was some of the parts that was surprising and some of the parts that were not. One of the parts was, of course, Carmella winning again with James Ellsworth breaking out of the shark cage, but I was pretty well okay. I mean, I give Extreme Rules a 7 out of 10. It wasn't that bad. I mean, it didn't quite give me full attention, but I had about maybe 70% attention on the pay-per-view.
This is always good to have, like, divided attention. But, Mark, what about you?
I didn't see it. I know that's probably not a good thing to say, but, yeah, I didn't see it. From what I read about it, I probably would have given it between a 6 and a 7. I guess it was a fair pay-per-view, but I didn't read anything that was, like, jaw-dropping or stunning to me.
Well, one of the best parts was Seth Rollins, Dolph Ziggler's match was great. It was great. I have to give it to them, even though they did this over and over and over again. It was good, except for, you know, they got to stop having people interfere in matches, especially when they're good. When they're really good, they got to stop it. Unfortunately, WWE hasn't gotten that far where they keep having people interfere, but another good part was the return of Randy Orton, except for turning on Jeff Hardy. Wasn't a fan of that, but we have Randy Orton back as a heel.
Yeah, but before I go to Skyler, what does everybody feel about this Randy Orton heel turn? I know some people say it was like long overdue. I don't know why, but what do you guys think about Randy Orton turn heel?
I'll go first, I guess. I don't know. I'm so used to seeing Randy Orton as a face. I don't think he plays a good heel. For me, I really don't think he plays a good heel. But him being gone for a couple months, maybe he's a little rusty. Maybe he forgot because he's been a face for so long. Not really sure, but I love him as a face more than a heel. I mean, maybe the crowd is digging it. Not really. I couldn't really read the fan base on how they felt about it, but I feel like he's better as a face than a heel.
Well, on that, I kind of disagree. I think he's a better heel. I didn't like him as much when he was a face. I liked him better when he was in Evolution and when he was the bad guy. So I'm personally looking forward to him being a heel. I didn't really miss him when he was gone because he wasn't a character I followed. I'm more of a heel guy. Skyler?
I'm just blah about it. I don't really it didn't, in the context of the pay-per-view, it didn't make any sense. Like, Shinsuke went over on Jeff Hardy in a very heelish way, which was awesome for Shinsuke. But then, like, he already put Jeff Hardy down for Randy Orton to come out there and then put a guy down when he's already down was kind of stupid, to be honest. Like, I was just like, oh, all right. He did that. And, I mean, to be honest, you couldn't tell if he was a heel or a baby face at all because, again, he just hit Jeff Hardy, so it was like, whatever. But I do agree that Randy Orton's a better heel. The Legend Killer story was probably one of the greatest heel story runs ever, just because, I mean, he was literally beating up legends and, like, guys that everyone watched growing up. So, like, yeah, that, I don't even know what else to say about it. I think it was just pointless.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's like the what they kind of build up. Oh,
no, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was just going to agree with the heel. Yeah, I agree with the Legend Killer. And yeah, and every time I think of Randy Orton, I don't think of him as a babyface. Even when he was kind of a good guy, I never thought of him as a good guy. But go ahead.
Yeah, he was that type of character that was like, you care for him or boo for him. Well, mainly care for him, like what he does. It's like he has like a, well, I would say like a heelish anti-hero character, as they call it.
Yeah, he's kind of like Triple H in the regards that even when he's a bad guy, he's a good guy, kind of, at times. But he's much better as a heel, and he still gets cheered. But he doesn't get the pop of Triple H, just somewhat of a comparison.
Pretty much the shock of Extreme Rules was when the B team won the tag team titles. I was like, what? What the hell are you guys doing? I don't foresee that reign happening any longer than, oh, I don't know, weeks or so. I wouldn't even give it that long. I think they just gave it to them. They gave it to them and for them to lose it, because they've done that plenty of times with people.
I think there's a lot of entertainment value there. If they play those guys and market them right, I think that can be entertaining and could last a while.
I mean, it's just funny how, you know, Bo Dallas beats his own brother, of course.
Right.
But I don't know.
But, yeah, I kind of like that part, to be honest.
I mean, it was a really, I mean, back to the Jeff Hardy, Shinsuke Nakamura match, that was pretty fast. It's like, oh, God, if I was sitting there, I'd be like, I want to see a match. I want to see, like, oh, it's over, 1, 2, 3, done. Like, what? What? I didn't pay for this. I paid to see wrestling. I didn't pay for a match to be over in, like, 5 seconds.
Guess they have to have their squash match, and I guess that one ended up being it. But, I don't know if anybody followed on my show this past Thursday. I did the survey for WWE, like what I thought about the pay-per-view and things like that. So anybody get a chance, get my this past Thursday episode a listen, and it's right at the beginning of the show that I did it. But let's see. The results were Andreas Yen almost defeated Sin Cara. Sandy defeated the New Day. Of course, the B team became the new tag champ. Finn Balor beat Baron Corbin. Carmella defeated Asuka. Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Jeff Hardy, become the U.S. champ. Kevin Owens ended up winning the match with Braun Strowman, the steel cage match, by escape. The Bludgeon Brothers retain the SmackDown tag titles. Bobby Lashley defeated Roman Reigns. Alexa Bliss defeated Nia Jax. AJ Styles retained against Rusev. And the match with Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins, they end up being the draw, but they somehow got Dolph Ziggler did.
It was overtime.
Yeah, overtime.
Yeah, sudden death.
Yeah, it was a sudden death match because Kurt Angle came out and said that he didn't want to see to go out like that. That the fans do not want to see a draw. They want to see a winner. So, and it was cheap. It was cheap as hell, too. But,
I think if it would have went on a little bit longer, because they had, like, maybe, like, a half an hour or, like, maybe, like, 30, 40 minutes to spare, like, if they want to make the match longer. I just wonder why they didn't do that, because they kind of ended this pay-per-view earlier than usual.
It did go by fast. That's why they only got a 6 or 7 rating out of 2 of us.
Yeah, I probably will end up giving it like a 7 too. Just to add that on there. But, no, that's it. And I think, Carrie, you said your favorite match was out of that. What was it?
The good match was, oh, shoot. Now, what did I say? I don't remember what I said. There was actually a couple good matches. I mean, of course, AJ Styles always performs a good match. Loved his match. But I didn't get to see the Sanity match because I turned it on. I got home late and I turned it on right when the pay-per-view started. So, but I guess the Sanity match looked really good. I'm a big fan of Sanity because I'm a big fan of Eric Young. So that match looked really good. They put some good wrestling into that.
I think that's one of your favorite wrestlers that I actually agree with. I'm a big Eric Young fan as well. And the whole Sanity angle, I really like. I like their entrance. I like the character development that they got going on with them. I agree. I like Eric Young.
Yeah, I've met him before. I've met Eric Young before, and I've also gotten to talk to him on the phone, on the phone too. So he seems pretty down to earth.
Who you have not been talking to?
Well, I'm not everybody. I mean, I'm not like everybody right now. I see people traveling around, going to see wrestlers, going to appearances, going to pay-per-views. It's like, really? Okay. I mean, I'm a big fan, but damn, you know, you got to have money to do that. That's why you talk about it on the WFSO fan show.
Yeah, that's true. Probably got to get a fan on here one day that does all that traveling and pick their brain.
Right.
Well,
okay,
sure,
one of the
I'm
best
sure
matches
all three of us
was
know a couple.
The Kevin Owens thing. Go ahead, Mark.
I was
going to
say, if you want any people like that, we could definitely find one. I'm sure all three of us know some of those type
okay,
of characters.
Okay, yes,
that,
me and AJ know a person.
Probably all know the same person.
Probably. But,
all right, go on with the Kevin Owens.
The Kevin Owens thing, well, like when Braun Strowman threw him off the cage, I don't know. I mean, wrestlers get hurt, you know, and you're kind of like worried about their well-being and everything, even though they are a villain or a bad guy or whatever, but damn, I think Braun Strowman did go extreme, so I guess they had to throw something in there to make it more extreme than what it was.
I only saw that Tyler? Replayed on Skyler, go ahead.
You there, Skyler?
Oh, yeah, I'm totally here. I'm just listening. Just waiting for a question that comes up.
All right, well.
What kind of thing was this? Like, what was your favorite, like, what the... Okay, I'm watching a show and Edge is on it.
What show is it?
I'm not sure. It's on Channel 18 locally.
That could be one of those shows that he was on in the past, so.
Probably because, like, he has... Because I know he's grown his hair a little bit, and on this one, he has that haircut. But I was asking you, Skyler, like, what would be your, like, favorite match out of Extreme Rules?
To be honest, I wasn't really a big fan of the pay-per-view, but... the match that I actually wanted to watch was probably still my favorite, Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns. They basically tore the house down and because the fans didn't get what they wanted, it kind of got a really bad review. I also think it was the biggest surprise of the night. Bobby Lashley beat Roman Reigns clean, which Roman Reigns hasn't really been beaten in a singles match without, like, some sort of cheating or craziness in just probably his entire career. So Bobby Lashley just beating him was pretty amazing and surprising, and Danny actually beat him with the spear, which also blew my mind. So I was like, whoa, this was awesome. And to be honest, it should have been the main event.
You think it should have been the main event?
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins didn't deserve the main event.
I thought their match was good. But, yeah, Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley did throw it out there, too. So I would have to agree with you on that. That was a fight.
The Dolph Ziggler-Seth Rollins match, not only have we seen it before, but it was really, really predictable. Like, it basically every Iron Man match is almost exactly the same. And then normally it goes into a tie and, like, something happens to where the fans want to see one more round or five more minutes or whatever, and it basically just kind of goes in through that way. And for them to make it so that, oh, we're going to give you another fall until we see a winner, and then for Drew McIntyre to interfere in the match after he was already tossed out, and
yeah,
for it to happen,
when he already banned.
Yeah, for it to happen in like 30 seconds made it seem really dumb.
Yeah, I would have to agree. We were talking about that. It was kind of dumb. That tiebreaker thing match was stupid.
Yeah, it kind of killed the entire match by making the tiebreaker last like 30 seconds. Because you already had a match with Shinsuke and Jeff Hardy that was really, really fast. So for them to go, we're going to give you one more fall. We're going to give you five more minutes. And then it's like, oh, we wanted five more minutes. You gave us like 10 seconds. Oh, that's cool. Like, it made the referee look stupid. It made Drew McIntyre look stupid. It made Dolph Ziggler look stupid. It made Seth Rollins look stupid. Like, it didn't really do anything for their feud. Like, it kind of just ended it. And if I'm not mistaken, on Raw the next day, they didn't even, like, fight about it. Like, normally if a good guy gets cheated, he normally comes back the next day like, oh, I'm going to whoop that guy because he cheated me. It was like, blah.
I have to agree. It was blah. It wasn't even anything that continued on. I mean, I think they so far dragged it on, even into the pay-per-view, that maybe they just didn't want to drag it on one more day. So maybe we'll see it again. Maybe we'll see it tomorrow. Who knows? But, yeah, it was just foul.
Those two, instead of having a 30-minute whatever, they should have had a ladder match, and it would have made it way better.
Yeah, it could have been TLC, and TLC would have been great, too.
Yeah, anything like that would have been way better than a 30-minute Iron Man match, because at least it would have given you an ending to where the feud was over. Like, basically, I think I said this a couple weeks ago about how I think Dolph Ziggler is just, like, he's just Dolph Ziggler. He's just a placeholder. Basically, Raw the next day, he wrestled Bobby Roode for, like, no reason. Where they're like, oh, if Bobby Roode wins this, he's going to get an Intercontinental title match. Bobby Roode lost, so it was completely pointless. Completely pointless.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Bobby Roode, and, yeah, I have to agree, it was completely just thrown into whatever they had to do to fill in the show. so I kind of thought that was stupid. And then, as far as Dolph Ziggler goes, yeah, not a fan, never been a fan, won't ever be a fan. So hopefully when his contract is up this, let's see, coming up this summer, sometime this summer, his contract is up.
He signed a new contract a while ago for like a couple of years.
I thought they just gave him an extension.
Well, they might have been. He's got the title. I can understand that, but that's the last. The last thing I read was his contract was up during the summer.
I'm very disappointed, by the way, that you're not a Bobby Roode fan, because Bobby Roode's amazing. But,
I don't foresee. I've met him. I've met him several times in person, but I just don't. I don't find him glorious in the ring. I just don't. Him and Ziggler. I'm bored. Sorry, bored.
It's probably because you didn't watch him in TNA or NXT, but Bobby Roode's pretty fantastic. What they've done with him on SmackDown and Raw is like a slap in the face to that guy. That dude is, he's like, I would almost put him up there with like a Kurt Hennig like type guy where he can wrestle just about anybody.
Ooh, I don't know. I've been in an era where I watched Kurt Hennig wrestle, and he was very, very good in the ring. I mean, compared to Joe Hennig, I don't see Bobby Roode topping Kurt Hennig.
Did you watch him in TNA or NXT at all?
I have not. So that's probably, I can see your point of view on that. So I would have to give him a shot.
I don't mean to interject, but I got to go with Skyler because I did watch TNA, and I would rank him in the top four as far as talent that I like to watch in there. It would be AJ Styles, Bobby Roode, Christopher Daniels, and Kazarian.
You didn't say Samoa Joe.
All right. Samoa Joe's up there too, but he wasn't in my top four.
Okay.
But, yeah, he's an amazing talent to watch when he's utilized correctly. I do like the glorious. I just don't like how he is in the ring right now. Because the guy is... Yeah, he is. He's really worth watching. He can be phenomenal in the ring. So he does deserve the whole glorious thing. He just needs to be utilized as a wrestler.
I agree about the as a wrestler. I still don't find him glorious, so sorry.
Carrie, do you have the WWE Network?
I do.
Okay. If this can be homework, go and watch Bobby Roode versus Shinsuke Nakamura in NXT. That match is...
Did you
just
say homework?
Yeah, he's trying to give me homework.
I'm just saying because she's never watched Bobby Roode really before. So, I mean, if it was up to me, I would be like, go watch Beer Money with him and James Storm, because they were phenomenal. But
they were.
Money wrestle before, and yes, they were really good together. I just don't see the transition of Bobby Roode being a glorious character. I guess
that's the
opinion I have. If I need to watch a Bobby Roode Shinsuke Nakamura to put me to sleep, I will definitely do that.
Well, it will not put you to sleep.
As I am not a fan of neither.
If you watch it in a different context of, like, if you watch it in the NXT, like, with the NXT crowd and stuff like that, the match is way better than anything they could put on WWE. Like, WWE has watered down Bobby Roode so much that, like, it's almost boring to watch him. Like, glorious Bobby Roode should not be a babyface at all. The guy is a great talker. He's really dastardly and mean, and it's like, it's saying if The Miz went babyface, it wouldn't make any sense because there's no way you can like The Miz. So, like, a guy that's running around calling himself glorious, there's no way you can like that guy. But WWE is telling you he's a babyface. it's basically painting him in a corner that he can't win.
Yeah, for right now, it's like no. I think they are throwing him in the wrong direction, especially with the background and him being with James Storm and everything. I don't know if he needs to be partnered up with somebody again like he was back in the day where he was really good or something.
No,
right now I'm just not feeling it.
He needs to be a heel. You're not feeling him because he's a babyface. Bobby Roode cannot be a babyface. I don't think I've ever seen Bobby Roode ever as a babyface until he got to SmackDown, which didn't make any sense. Like, in TNA, he was part of Team Canada. He was a bad guy. Beer Money, he was a bad guy until they made it a joke. He bashed James Storm in the head with a beer bottle, which made him the It Factor. He was a heel. He was glorious in NXT, which made him a heel. Like, why would they just randomly be like, hey, you're going to be on SmackDown now, and now you're a babyface? That was so dumb.
I think the whole face angle, I think I said it before, was when they were trying to make him and Charlotte Flair kind of like a it couple when they were doing that crossover. So that had to tie in with that, and the only way to make it work is, well, Charlotte Flair was now a face, so you can't have her partner with a heel because she was a heel, so her partner's got to be a face as well.
I was just going to finish
by saying that they had to make him a face at the time, but I think they can easily give him a heel turn. His character wouldn't be hard to flip, especially the way he pronounces his glorious and, you know, he's arrogant, and it would be really easy to utilize him as a heel. I just don't know when they're going to do
it. From what I heard from, like, some guys I know in the inside, like, the reason they made him a babyface was because the glorious thing was so, like, big. Like, people were singing his song. Everyone yells glorious. The WWE saw that as a marketing tool, and we're like, oh, we can sell T-shirts that say glorious because everyone loves this glorious thing. Well, they loved it because he was a jerk. And so, like, they liked the bad guy.
Right. They loved – a lot of those people watched him previously and knew who he was and liked him for his talent and realized he's a bad guy. I mean, there's a lot of bad guys that get tops. It's hard to – I mean, you can distinguish who's the face and who's the bad guy. But it's not like wrestling from the, you know, 80s where the heel is booed. A lot of times now the heel is cheered just as much as the face.
Yeah, to be honest, there's not – if you really think about it, there's not many babyface guys that are actually cheered. Like, most of them are heels that people like. Like Rusev. Rusev's a heel. He's probably the – biggest, the most over guy around right now, besides AJ Styles, but he's in a league of his own. People love Shinsuke. People like Dolph Ziggler. People love The Miz. People like Samoa Joe. Who else is out there? Bray Wyatt, he was a heel for a really long time, and people liked him. Like, baby faces, I think, are just kind of pushed into your face the wrong way, so people hate them.
Well, there's one babyface team that everybody likes, and that's the New Day.
Yeah.
But I do think they're the exception.
But you remember, wait. But do you remember when the New Day first came and they were babyfaces, people booed them out the building. Then they became heels, and then people started liking New Day. So it wasn't because they were good guys. They liked them because they were jerks and they were arrogant and they did things, whatever they wanted to do, to make themselves laugh. And then people were like, oh, hey, we can get in on the joke too. Let's like those guys. That's what happened with them. Same with the Usos. When the Usos were like doing their tribal dance and all that, people hated them. Once they turned into bad guys, people were like, oh, hey, we kind of like those guys. So I can't agree with people liking the New Day because they're good guys.
Look, does everybody really have to be a heel to be liked?
I have to agree with
AJ. That just kind of makes sense to me.
I'm trying to think of a face that people like because he's a face. I mean, John Cena comes to mind, but I don't like him, but a lot of people
no,
do.
No, nobody likes John Cena. Please, except for AJ.
Younger,
well, you don't.
A lot of the younger people love John Cena.
He's down the middle. He's down the middle. But I can't really think of a baby face that people like because they're a good guy. It's really hard to think of.
I mean, everybody I like
is
got
an
edge to him. Everybody I like is pretty much a bad guy or been a bad guy or is a tweener.
I guess my thing is why everybody has to be healed to be liked. That's just something I just don't understand.
You know why? Because heels have I can explain it to you if you want. Heels have character. Baby faces do not. That's kind of what it is. So, I mean, like when the Shield was a thing, people loved the Shield because they were, not because they were destroying people, but they gave you a character that was like different. They gave you an attitude, an edge to them, like Mark said. The Miz is, he's a character, but he gives you a realistic character. He gives you an edge, something like that. When you look at babyface guys, like, I'm just trying to think of one off the top of my head, which is really hard for some reason. Like Finn Balor. Finn Balor has no character. He is literally just guy in a leather jacket.
The only time that Finn Balor really gets, well, I mean, he's got fans, but the only time he really gets pops, and I like to watch him, is when he turns into the demon, and then it's arguably the bad guy.
Yep.
And when he's a demon, yeah, right. He's almost a bad guy. And like when he does the demon, he does it like once a year. So it's like, oh, okay. I'm trying to think.
But
well,
you guys have to see that, you know, like people like, you know, like you gave examples of the Shield. It's like, well, you know, they were bad guys, but WWE put them together because it fit them. It fit everything, like their charisma, their contribution to the show, their attitude, their wrestling skills. Like, it just fit. Like The Miz, he fits. He just totally fits. Like, if he left, it would not fit. It would just wouldn't fit.
Yeah. Those characters they're not given, though. So, like, The Miz was given a character, and then he ran with it and made it his own. Like, and that's what the difference is between heels and babyface guys. Heels can almost say whatever they want, and they can get away with it. Okay, right now is almost one of the most entertaining guys on SmackDown, but he's almost racist. Like, he's borderline racist right now, and it's funny. And, like, he is getting over as like a heel right now where people are disliking him because he's borderline racist. Jinder Mahal is the same thing. Like him getting that big push that he did where people started to actually boo him and get mad. Like, oh, I hate that guy so much. He was borderline racist. Like people hate Brock Lesnar right now. Brock Lesnar is a character, but, like, he's also pushed himself to be Brock Lesnar. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, if he ever shows up.
I was looking at who wrestled on SmackDown, and one of the names that popped out as, okay, this guy's a babyface, is Ty Dillinger, right? The Perfect 10. But if you think about his character, he doesn't have much depth. He's just this guy that's supposed to be a Perfect 10, and he's a good guy. What else has he got right now? Nothing. He's got no depth to his character. So on SmackDown, he got a little violent and they were talking about, oh, we've never seen this side of him. So are they trying to build him up to give him a heelish turn to give the character depth to make him more relevant? Maybe. Because right now he's not relevant. He's nobody. He's just a guy on the show filling airtime.
Yeah.
That goes the
and
same thing
the
with
fun...
Mojo Rawley, too, though, because he's been both. He's been a face and he's trying to be a heel. It's like, it does not fit you, dude. I just can't see it.
Well, Mojo Rawley's
one
of those guys that
pointless.
I don't know. it's not that I don't like him personally, and I don't wish his career bad, because I'm sure he's trying really hard. But so far, everything they've done with that guy, to me, has been a dead end. To be honest, I don't know why he's still utilized the way he is. He's just there. He's nothing. He's got no backstory. I don't know anything about him. They really don't say much about him. He brought in a football friend for WrestleMania. That was something, but that ended up being nothing. So there's no depth to his character either.
Well, they just showed R-Truth, yeah, too. I was like, oh, my God, dude, you still have a job? I'm like, I haven't seen you in so long. You still work for WWE? Wow. And
well,
I've met him so many
probably
times.
Probably attempt to give him something.
I was R-Truth, like, geez, where have you been?
R-Truth is a comic relief now. And, like, if you do see him, he's always just making you laugh. And that's what he's paid to do now. They show up every couple months, make you laugh, and that's it.
Kind of
I guess
like
that's another thing of
a
Ron Simmons kind of thing. Instead of doing damn,
yep,
you're doing
yeah
something else.
Exactly.
I guess, like, back to, like, why the heels, like, why people got to be heels to be like, I guess I see things differently than most of you do. It's like, I guess I'm just that traditional style of person when it comes to wrestling. And I don't know if it's like I get entertained real easily, but I know I can get bored with things real quick. But I guess it's just like just learning about what everybody does in that ring. And like, although they put their 110% into it, it's like I respect everybody as a wrestler, no matter if I how I personally feel, but like I respect everybody that does like everything on this ring. So if I think they're doing a good job in that ring, if you're a face, I'm gonna cheer. If you're doing a good job and you're a heel and you're supposed to, I'm gonna boo. I guess I just see things differently.
I can
see your point though, because
That's exactly how we all see it. But I mean, mm-hmm, not every single heel that comes into the ring you're going to boo, because you might not just be entertained at all. Like Ty Dillinger, for instance. Ty Dillinger's a babyface. If he gets in the ring, I'm gonna be like, I'm turning the channel because he's terrible. So like, to me, he might be terrible. To the next guy, he might be the greatest thing ever. And it's like, we all feel the same way, so you're not seeing it differently. We all see it the same way. We just like different things from each person. Like,
mm-hmm,
Carrie said she doesn't like Shinsuke Nakamura. I love Shinsuke Nakamura. I think he's a great heel. She doesn't like him at all. But I'm going to be like, this dude's awesome. And I might boo certain things that he does because he's really awesome at what he does. But, like, I can't remember the other guy that you're – oh, we were talking about Robbie E. She loves Robbie E. I can't stand Robbie E. So it's the same thing. Like, everyone likes who they like, and they're going to cheer or boo for that person just because that person makes them feel a certain way. But not every single person that comes through the curtain is going to get booed. Not every person that comes through the curtain is going to get cheered. It's just the way wrestling is.
And then you can see me with the Miz, too. Like, I'll be the only one cheering him, and everybody else in the arena is booing him. And I'm like, woo! I'm like the only loudmouth that's screaming for him.
But
I don't care.
Like,
people can yell and say, tell me to shut up. I'll be like, my hand's up. You shut up.
It's just like you're a heel, you do your heelish good job, I'm going to boo, because that's just showing them that you're doing a good job of me not liking
right
you,
right,
or whatever the case may be.
That's what we were all kind of saying, like we all have our different opinions about the heels and the faces. Like, you can be a face and do a good job and we'll applaud you, and then you can be a heel and boo you and some people will applaud you, some people will boo you. It all depends on the opinion that they have. Just like with Elias, when he comes in there and talks about every single city that he visits and how trashy or how dirty it is, it's like they get him, he gets them hyped and he gets them to boo. So it's like he's doing his job. That's what we were kind of like talking about.
Yeah, he was kind of doing the same thing Mick Foley did. Mick Foley would go in every city and make a reference to that city. Except for Mick Foley did it for the positive pop. Elias is doing it for the negative pop. Same thing.
Mm-hmm. So they're kind of recreating the younger generation superstars to replicate what happened eons ago, but in a different version.
Right. Well, they always do things over and over again. Being thrown off the steel cage, that's just Mick Foley Undertaker.
Mick Foley Undertaker, yep. Mm-hmm.
But nobody's seen it for 20 years, so you got a new fan base. Well, not a completely new fan base, but a lot of new faces out there that don't know who Mick Foley and The Undertaker are, or maybe they do, but they don't have that scope and depth of them. So you replay that
mm-hmm.
angle. You know, that.
I was just thinking about this a couple weeks ago on how, yeah, like you were just talking about fan base, on how, you know, we've been wrestling fans a long time, but now you've got this new fan base, the 20-year-old generations who's just starting to get into, maybe starting to get into involved in liking wrestling or going to wrestling shows and stuff. And, you know, everything, it seems like WWE is making everything fast-paced so the younger generation does pay attention, because if anything slows down, you see the audience being in their phone or not, or talking to other people. They're just not interested unless if it's moving quickly.
Right, I get what y'all are saying. But another thing I wanted to touch on, this was during the Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins match where people was counting down the clock. Although I posted up there that got me annoyed because I couldn't enjoy the match because they kept on doing it. So I just want to get y'all thoughts on that. And I'm going to start with Mark. What were your thoughts about that? I don't know if you heard about that part, but what do you think about that?
Like I said, I didn't actually see it. I just read about it. And they didn't really mention the clock being shown a lot. So I guess I don't know what to say about that, to be honest.
All right, Skyler?
The funny thing is, inside story, the WWE was actually getting annoyed with the crowd for doing the countdown. So they actually took the timer off of the Titantron, so like nobody could see it. But then the crowd got even more annoyed and started like counting down just for no reason. So yeah, I thought, I'm going to be honest, I thought that crowd was very, very disrespectful in multiple ways throughout that night. First with the B team, they were kind of happy and like booing. And I thought like it didn't make any sense. The same thing with the Bobby Lashley, Roman Reigns match. They were like booing throughout the whole match. And it was like, these dudes are actually putting on a really good match. And then that whole clock situation was kind of like the last straw for me, where I was like, wow, they're kind of ruining the match. Like, there's a pretty decent match going on in the ring, and none of you are paying attention.
I do agree with you, but Carrie, what do you think?
I have to agree to disagree. The agreement part I agree with Skylar on is the whole reaction that the fan base gave with the B team. Like, some people cheered, some people booed, but I saw the B team go along like, we won, we won, we won, we won, we won, we won. So it's like they didn't even care what the fan base was thinking about. And then what else did you say, Skylar? There was something else. Oh, Roman Reigns, Bobby Lashley match. Like, some people boo, some people yayed or whatever. I don't know. Maybe people are having mixed feelings about Bobby Lashley. Maybe people don't know him, Bobby Lashley, from the past when he used to wrestle. Not sure, but yeah, that is kind of like a twist with the whole fan base on how they feel about whatever. But, again, like I said, I was shocked about the B-team winning the tag team champs. I was even shocked that WWE even thought about giving it to them. But I'm thinking they're going to lose them anyways. Maybe not to Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. Maybe so. I don't know. But as far as the whole counting down the clock thing, it kind of was disrespectful as far as the wrestling thing goes. But I'm sorry. I thought it was freaking hilarious because I was at home going 10, 9, 8. I was like, it was just funny to me. But I can see from Dolph and Seth's perspective when they're trying to wrestle and try to perform, that is disrespectful. But to, I think it was the fan base being bored that they did the whole counting down thing, even though WWE took it off, they still took it upon themselves to do what they wanted to do. So it was half funny and half disrespectful for me.
Wait, can I just interject really quick? So, like, back to the Bobby Lashley, Roman Reigns thing, like, it's kind of like AJ said, like, if two guys are putting on a really good match, I don't care if, like, the crowd doesn't like a guy. If the match is good, don't sit there and boo both guys the entire match. Like, that's what I mean by disrespectful. Like, that match was really, really good. And, like, you have people just sitting there booing both guys the whole match, like, for 20 minutes. That's pretty ridiculous. Like, and then the WWE gave the fans what they wanted. They put Rusev in a title match, and Rusev got booed, and AJ got booed. And it's like, well, what does the crowd want? Oh, we gave them that what they wanted. Okay, the B-team. Everyone loves the B-team. That, like, was the fun running joke on Raw. All of a sudden they win and they get booed, and it's like, these guys, you could actually see in their faces that, like, there was some, like, oh, my God, we actually did something worthwhile, and people are booing them. And it's like, to me, like, that crowd sucked. Like, I said it that night when I was watching the pay-per-view. Like, that crowd was annoying me to the point where I didn't want to watch the pay-per-view. And there's only a few crowds that do that where I'm like, all right, this crowd's ruining the show. Like, people should not go to a wrestling show trying to make the show about them. The show is about the performers because that's who you pay to come see. It's not to be obnoxious and count down on the clock or, you know, boo an entire match or whatever. Like, why even pay your money to come watch if you're just going to, like, ruin the show? And I think that might be coming. I have no idea. I think it was, like, Washington, D.C., maybe?
I thought they were in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, yeah, there you Pittsburgh. Go. That's where it was.
It was in Pittsburgh.
It was Pittsburgh, yeah.
Well,
yeah, that fan base was kind of... Freaking Wisconsin fans would have been more respectful than them.
Well, if you know anything about their football team and how they root for football and baseball, they're Jags. They are.
Well,
the whole Pittsburgh,
well, most likely they will get a pay-per-view anytime soon after this. They'll probably be there.
We'll
for
see.
Well,
if it sells out and if it makes money, WWE, I don't think we'll care.
Right, exactly. WWE doesn't care.
Nope.
Well,
it's like,
the money's coming in.
Here's another thing, not to jump in really quick, but, like, you remember when the ring announcer would say, this match is scheduled for one fall, and people would yell, one fall, right after the guy.
They didn't do that.
The guy, you know what's funny? WWE, you remember the ring announcer used to stop. He'd go, this match is scheduled for one fall. He would wait for them to say it, and then he would continue on. Now he just goes right through it, and WWE doesn't care that the crowd's doing that. They think it's annoying, so they just go right through it, and the crowd doesn't do it as much as they used to.
I was just saying that, though. It's fast-paced.
WWE,
like, they're trying to keep it focused on fast-paced.
Yeah, if the crowd's trying to take over the show, WWE will figure out a way to, like, shut the crowd down, if that makes
yep.
sense.
Yep.
Since we got, like, about 6 minutes left, I'm going to read the results from Slammiversary, which is going on right now. I know the main event is still going on.
Oh,
but,
wait, no, time out. No, don't do that. Please don't do that.
What? The main event is going on, so I don't know what's going on with the main event. I just know what's happening with the other matches.
I haven't watched it yet.
He wants to watch
it.
He wants to watch it. He doesn't want to hear the results.
Yeah, I was
okay,
working.
I'll save them.
All right, thank you.
But
I'm
since we got like a 6 minutes and stuff and left, so let's talk about a little bit of Raw and SmackDown. I didn't write much of Raw because I partly fell asleep through like some of it, so I didn't write no notes for that. So SmackDown, we had AJ Styles versus Andre Cien Almas. AJ Styles won that match. Becky Lynch versus Mandy Rose. Becky Lynch won that match. Ty Dillinger versus Samoa Joe. Kofi Kingston versus Eric Young. I think Eric Young won that match, if I'm right.
Sure did.
Jeff Hardy versus Shinsuke. I think Jeff Hardy won by disqualification. Because of Randy Orton.
Yeah, Randy Orton interfered.
Yes.
Yep.
That was the worst part of the whole show, if I can say, with Randy Orton interfering.
Again?
Not because of the interference. Well, I didn't like the way that, okay, Jeff has got, I forget what you call those, gauges, where he's got the holes in his earlobes. I really didn't think that was, I mean, it's an all-ages show, and it's supposed to be for kids and everything. Well, the way that he grabbed the lobes and he was ripping on them and stuff, I didn't think that was appropriate or cool. I just think that that's going to send a subliminal message to kids and stuff. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I thought that was uncalled for and not cool, personally.
Oh, okay.
I agree.
I was going to say, like, what show did it for you guys this week? Carrie, you can go first.
Okay, so... Of course, everybody knows I'm Team Red, but unfortunately, Team Red did not make it this week. So SmackDown did it for me this week because the matches were pretty much more interesting than Raw did. The only thing that Raw focused on that I thought was the best was, of course, The Miz doing the Team Hell No Funeral. That was the funniest thing ever. But SmackDown pulled it off this week.
I love the Team Hell No Funeral was on SmackDown.
That's right. So SmackDown pulled it off. See? So yeah, Raw did not do anything for me this week.
Okay, Mark, your turn.
All right. Well, I already touched base on how I didn't like the Randy Orton earlobe thing. That was a big turnoff on SmackDown. I think whole show against whole show, SmackDown was better. The strong suits for Raw were both the triple threat matches. The weak thing on SmackDown was definitely the perfect 10 against Samoa Joe. But overall, I'd give this week to SmackDown over Raw.
Okay, before I go to Skyler, I'm just going to let everybody know that we're probably going to go like extra 5 or 10 minutes on this. For the people that's listening live right now, it might just cut off on you guys, but... it will, after we're done within 5 or 10 minutes, try to listen to the whole thing within like 20 minutes. Then you get to listen to the whole thing as it was live. But y'all get what I'm saying. But back to Skyler, which show did it for you?
Believe it or not, Raw to me was better than SmackDown. SmackDown had a bunch of filler matches and filler time, and like it just kind of was filler. The two triple threat matches actually meant something, and they were both actually really, really good. SmackDown, the best match by far was Cien Almas and AJ Styles, but
yep.
I I didn't really know why they did that match. Like, AJ Styles is your champ, but he was the first match on the show. Like, that was almost as disrespectful as not having him the main event on a pay-per-view. So, yeah, I was just like, even though he has the best matches every show, I don't really think they care much about AJ Styles, which is kind of sad.
It is sad.
Yeah, they should care more about him because he carries the company.
He does. He
right.
carries SmackDown big time. I agree.
He is the face that runs the place, literally.
Yep, I have to agree. Mm-hmm.
And then SmackDown, the Team Hell No thing was, I mean, it's cool that they're starting the Miz and Daniel Bryan angle, but that was kind of a curveball because Kane is legitimately hurt.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that too.
And but kind of, it just seemed like SmackDown was like fishing for stuff and there was nothing there. Like, to me, the Randy Orton thing doesn't really make sense. Joe beating up Ty Dillinger was kind of pointless. Kofi and Eric Young was kind of pointless.
Damn.
Their teams just wrestled each other.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm just getting the results, and the main event just ended, but I'm not going to say who won or not or anything like that, but I guess I'm just a little disappointed with the main event, but just carry on.
Hey, you're not supposed to say anything.
I didn't say who won.
That's hinting, though.
Yeah, with Raw, I mean, it's, to be honest, there's nothing that really popped off from Raw. Except, you know what? Now that I think about it, the Becky Lynch thing was kind of pointless, too. At least Raw had Alexa Bliss. That works for me.
Oh, brother.
It works for me, too, brother. Works for me, too.
Alexa Bliss is
anything
an amazing
for, never
talker.
Mind, I can't say it on the air.
No. Not
can.
Because of her looks or anything.
On the air.
Alexa tells a good story. Like, if you listen to her talk, like, it makes you go, man, I really want to see her get punched in the face. Like, and that's literally what she's there for. Like, I didn't even care for Ronda Rousey very much, but now I really want to see her and Ronda Rousey wrestle each other. I'm like, I'm intrigued by this.
I think I don't know. I think Bliss will still retain because I mean I'm an Alexa Bliss fan. Don't get me wrong. You know, you guys have your own perspective about her that she's cute or she's interesting to watch. Yeah, that girl's got a big mouth, but she's a kid. She's 25. She's gonna have a big mouth at that age. She's got good.
Most
I think she's
sandwiches.
Got good charismatic skills.
Yeah, you're.
I just don't like her. I just don't.
Awful,
I just don't feel the way you guys feel about her. How cute or whatever she is.
Wait, whoa! Time out. I do not care about Alexa's looks at all. I actually think Alexa is. Well, I mean, obviously she's attractive, but Alexa is the most entertaining person. I'm gonna say it. The most entertaining person on Raw, because Alexa can talk. She can wrestle. She can literally probably out-wrestle, I'm going to say 90% of each locker room. She came up from being a terrible gimmick in NXT as like a cheerleader to a manager to a wrestler. Like Alexa Bliss is like the hardest working female wrestler there is, at least in the last 5-6 years, maybe even 10. Yeah, it's not about her look. I kind of resent that comment.
I don't disagree that she's not hardworking because she is. She does make the show on Raw seem like something to go about on. But you can't disagree that, you know, the Trish Stratus, Lita, all
those
good women wrestlers back in those days were not as great as Alexa Bliss.
But
they
those
were better
20 years ago? No. See, that's the thing. They're 20 years ago. Plus, or 15 years ago, plus, they can't talk. Lita could not talk on a microphone. Trish could not really talk on a microphone when she was a good guy and she was a wrestler. When she was a heel manager,
she could talk, but it was more talking about how hot she was and stuff like that. Alexa can out-talk both of them, plus she can wrestle. Alexa can make you hate her by just saying two words. She can also make the entire crowd cheer her by saying two words. Like when she said Ronda Rousey was an overhyped rookie, everybody cheered. But then
that was hilarious. That was hilarious.
But then 2 minutes later, she said that, you know, Nia Jax is a bully and she uses her weight and blah, blah, blah. People started booing her right away. Like, to me, there's by far nobody on the roster as good as Alexa Bliss. It's hands down that easily. Like, and I'm going to be honest, like, there might not be a woman ever like Alexa Bliss. And that's almost as hard for me to say. Because, like Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair is a great wrestler, but she can't talk on the microphone.
As far as ring skills, I'd say Charlotte and Sasha got her beat easily. As far as total character, I agree with you. As far as you saying that there might not be another one ever like her, I think it's too early in her career to put her up that high on a pedestal.
Right, because
but I will agree,
she's got time.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
she's got
time.
And she's, like I said, she's a young kid. She's got plenty of years to go.
Yes, she's got plenty of time, but she's also like a 5-time champ already. So anyone in history below 3, 4, 5 titles, not even close to her. And that's literally the entire history of women's wrestling. Like, to be honest, I don't think Sasha's better than her in the ring. Charlotte,
oh, hell no.
Yes. But, like, when you go by character-wise, Sasha's character is not even close to Alexa. Sasha and Charlotte can't talk with a microphone, which is half of wrestling nowadays. Like, there's a reason why Alexa went from one show to the next show to the next show and was champion every single time she was on a show. Like, that hasn't happened with Bayley, Sasha, like, any other woman except her and Charlotte. And those, to me, those are the only two that are on her level at all.
I have to agree, because I think Sasha's getting a little stale. Well, I've just outgrown. She's a little stale. And then Bayley, I mean, I know she's fan kid. She's a John Cena, but as a girl, like more kid friendly. And I'm just not feeling her anymore like I used to. She's not on top of the pedestal like she used to be. She's just not championship material ready at all. But I still disagree. SmackDown pulled it off.
Yeah, I do agree.
That's why we're here. We're all
entitled
to our opinions.
Yeah, I do agree that SmackDown did pull it off this week. Although, like, there was no complaints with the matches that happened on Raw. Although, sorry, I fell asleep on half of them. But like I said, like, SmackDown did it for me this week. I'll just say it has a little bit over of an edge than it did for Raw. So I'll just leave it at that. So let's get to my points of view for this week. So, Mark, what is your point of view of the week?
Well, I'd like to see improve upon last week. I did like the triple threats, like I said. I think that Raw has just as much, or if not more, time to come up with a better show than SmackDown. But SmackDown, for me, has been doing it pretty much consistently. So I'd like to see something change with the dynamics of that show. I don't know if you guys heard, but I think it might be just something going on Facebook that's not true, but there's something going on saying that Raw is going to be expanding. I don't know if that's true or not. I hope it doesn't. Pretty much all I got.
Isn't that rumor that said it was supposed to go like the 4 hours or something like that? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
We heard Raw 4 hours, and we heard pay-per-views are going up to 5.
That was kayfabe. That's a lie. It's this group that's called like kayfabe. They make jokes out of everything, so You probably heard that from them. So it mainly was just a joke.
Good, because we don't need more time. We need to improve the time we have.
Very true. Scholar, your point of view of the week?
I'm excited that you guys got me riled up about Alexa Bliss, but I actually had to go and look. I had to go look up her stats, and she is a 5-time women's champion, plus she's a Money in the Bank winner. That almost makes her, like, top 5 of all time. And
you're not
going to
put her on your top
10
list next week, or are you going to put her on your top 10 next week?
Okay, so you guys, we now have to make a top 10 list of women, too. Not only men.
No.
Women, too.
No, we're not. No.
Why? That's I'm
because now
Skylar's
hyped up about Alexa Bliss being number one.
Wait. I'm not trying to be mean, but like, it's gonna get really hard after 5. Like
it is.
Because if you put like Sherry, Mula, Trish, Alexa,
Lita,
and then I'm sorry, but I can't put Lita in a. Lita has not done really. She did her like flipping and cool stuff, but like, as in like a wrestling career, Lita didn't really do anything, to be honest. Like she's known as the Hardy Boys.
Yeah,
Ruby.
She broke her neck filming Dark Angel. Her career was cut short.
Yeah, no. Hey, I'm not saying it's cut short or anything like that, but she's. To me, she's remembered as the Hardy Boys groupie. And, like, that's it.
Well, she started off with F.A. Rios.
I know. She had plenty of time on TV. So, like, yeah. To me, her best character development was when she was with Edge. That was the most entertaining Lita to me. But
because that was the half-nude Lita.
Huh?
I said that's because that was the half-nude Lita.
I just thought she was more entertaining. She was, like, she was evil. And you remember her whole thing with Kane? That was pretty awesome to me.
Well, how about on that top 10 list, we make sure that 2 of the spots on the top 10 are for women.
2?
Well, if y'all want to do that, y'all can.
Yeah, you're pushing.
You guys
it
can make your list the way you want them, I guess. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm just saying we can't make a list for just women because I can't come up with 10.
Well, we can come up with 5.
I can come up with 10. They're just not good. But I'm just being completely honest. Like I would.
Well, if we have to do 10 from 20 years ago and 10 from now. Like we do for the.
Oh, that's hard.
I wouldn't go that.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I wouldn't go that far. I would go list of now. Like now. I know because, you know, like I said, Skylar's all hyped up about making Alexa Bliss number one, which, I mean, I can kind of agree that she did a lot of stuff in a couple years that she's been here. Nobody's done what she's done.
But
so
she's
going to have a good history behind her when she retires.
She's not number one. But, all right, so. Are we making a woman list for like ever? Or I mean, what's the criteria so we know what's going on?
I think I got an idea with the woman list. I think we're going to save that one for maybe sometime next month, at least like before SummerSlam. We'll do that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next month.
All right. So
Hold on. Can I jump in really quick? So I just did like a quick search of Lita, right? Lita has only had the WWE women's title 4 times in 6 years of wrestling. The best feud that she was a part of was the Edge and Matt Hardy feud, which, again, makes her a groupie because she wasn't actually a part of the feud. And then worst feud was the Kane and Matt Hardy feud, which, again, she wasn't actually, like, wrestling in the feud. Like, I know people love Lita, and I'm not going to change anyone's minds, and that's not what I'm trying to do. But, like, she started in 99 and, like, made her 6 or 7 years, but, like, Lita didn't really do anything. Like, to be there that long and not and your whole legacy is, like, you know, hitting these flips and hurricane ramas and stuff, like, yeah, that's cool, but in the ring, Alexa literally has done way more than she has, and Alexa's only been there for, like, 3 or 4 years.
I got to disagree with you. She was a pioneer for the women's movement. If it wasn't for her, a lot of what's happening now would have never happened. I mean, look up China.
Oh, yeah.
How many times was China a title holder?
But China also was the Intercontinental Champion. That's way higher than any women's title that she was going to get. Like, she was in the men's wrestling picture. That's why she doesn't have very many women's titles. But, like, you're to me, like, the women's evolution or whatever, revolution or whatever you want to call it, would have happened no matter what. Like, yeah, there's people that are like, oh, I love Lita and love Trish and stuff like that. Like, Trish is the reason that that movement happened. Like, Trish went from kind of like Alexa, where Trish was a, like, quote-unquote model that was a manager. And then she worked herself to be something more. Like, Trish learned how to talk on a microphone. Trish learned how to wrestle. Trish headlined WrestleMania, like, events. Like, Lita didn't do any of that. Like, there's – I don't even think Lita's had a one-on-one match at WrestleMania. But you know what she was in? The Hardy Boys ladder match at WrestleMania. Like, Lita didn't do anything. Like, you're to compare her to Trish Stratus is not even close. Trish Stratus is, like, a women's wrestling god, and Lita's just in the same conversation. Like,
I would never downplay Trish, okay? Because Trish, okay, people may say Fabulous Moolah was the greatest or whoever. That's whatever their point of view. I think Trish is. She would be my number one, hands down. So I'm not going to take anything away from Trish. But from all the years of watching wrestling and seeing what people did, whether they got the title belt or not, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're one of my top 10 or not top 10. But I can't put Lita any further down than number two. For me, it's Trish.
I don't understand that.
And then Lita.
She's not a wrestler. I don't understand that because she's
sorry
not
to
a
cut
wrestler.
You off, but,
like,
sorry to cut you off, but a question. What about Sable?
Sable, that's another one.
You can't even put Sable.
Come on.
I don't think Sable could do anything near what Trish or Lita did. Was she hot?
Yep.
Well, yeah, she was hot. But if you take away, I mean, what did she do?
As you just said, she's a pioneer for wrestling.
All right, we got to save this for August because otherwise,
yeah,
I'm going to be on
save
a tangent
this,
and I'm going to keep
going.
This
is a big argument that we all started now here.
Yeah, I'm not going to let it go. Tyler's not going to let it go.
Start?
Yeah, we got to stop it now and save it for August.
Yeah, we're just going to keep
going. I'm sure
going
it's still
going
to be piping boiling with everybody's point of view.
Terry, what's your point of view of the week?
You know, I did not finish my point of view. That's not fair.
You said Alexa in your point of view. You said Alexa Bliss rocks, and that's that. There's nobody else to say about nobody's point of view. But yeah, go ahead first. Well, you want to finish your point of view? Go for it.
I don't want to finish my point of view anymore. My feelings are hurt.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to hurt your feelings. That I can honestly say, I did not mean to hurt your feelings. So you have my humblest apologies.
I'm kidding.
I think we all need
to
have our own little freaking pre-SummerSlam debate. Because man, this divas conversation or women's revolution talk is boiling. We got one boiling and one disagreeing, and I hate to say it, but to be continued. I'm on Mark's side so far. Sorry.
Oh, it's not about sides.
No, I'm not boiling at all.
Not boiling at all. I'm not upset. I actually like debates. They entertain me.
You're gonna go ahead with your point of view or what? Because you know we all need to go to bed.
No, I'm good.
His feelings are hurt. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Sorry, we hurt the kids' feelings.
Well, go ahead, okay. Karen, your point of view of the week.
Well, anyways, my point of view is probably the same old thing as it's been ever since we've done this show. WWE still keeps on doing the same old repetitive thing. We were just talking about how SmackDown was doing their filler matches. I didn't see any filler matches. I saw that more on Raw, even though they did put two triple threat matches in there, which was pretty good, but they still didn't pull it off. So I think, hello, Raw writers, you have work to do. I think they both sides have work to do, but needless to say, Raw needs to step it up because we need to see a good SummerSlam. That's about it.
Okay, I guess it's my turn for my point of view of the week. My point of view is I saw Ring of Honor last night, and although they only had two matches, the women's title and the World Heavyweight title, where Jay Lethal ended up winning that match and ended up being the new champ. Although I was like kind of worried at first, it's like, wait, two matches? Like, normally they'll do like three or four in the hour, but I guess sometimes when there are short matches, I guess what I learned that some matches, like some, if you do like two matches in like an hour, if it's good, it'll be worth it. If it's not good, then you know the fans will hear it. Well, you know, they will say what they feel. That main event with that Fatal 4 match for the ROH title was pretty good, so it was worth it.
I don't mean to expand our show, and I'm not going to go into anything in depth. I just want to say I agree. ROH is very entertaining. I think it is the next best wrestling on TV. My opinion, Impact or whatever you want to call it, TNA, that's fallen dramatically. So, yeah, ROH is entertaining, but that's it. Not going to argue, not going to call out any matches, not going to extend the show.
Yeah, if I would watch ROH more often, I would have to agree with Mark. But I am one of those people that have to see ROH live because I think it's more entertaining to me than it is on TV. I don't know why. Just maybe because I don't really watch it. I do love some of the wrestlers on ROH. I'm not going to downgrade them or anything because, you know, I have a few favorites on there. So, but yeah, ROH is really good wrestling because I've been to a few live shows.
Yeah, it just kind of sucked that they haven't had any, like, you know, live shows that were late, because normally they will have one by now.
Right.
Well,
I mean, I think everything's being purely focused on WWE stuff that's going on. Oh, by the way, we have to announce for all the wrestling fans who are misfits like me, Miz and Mrs., July 24th after SmackDown. I'm only seeing the Miz part. Who gives a shit about the Mrs. part? But, okay.
I'm kind of the opposite. I like The Miz, entertaining as a wrestler, but on that kind of show, I'm only going to be watching Maryse.
We don't care about her. I could get in debate about her all day long, but it's all good.
Well, but, let's see. I'm just trying to see if there was anything, I'm also going to look forward to that Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns match tomorrow. I am going to look forward to that, too. So hopefully they do good. We'll see. But that's going to do it for us. We will be back next week. We're going to talk about the top 10 wrestlers of since 2000 through today. And our top 10 wrestlers of all time. It could be male or female, all males, all females, whatever the case may be. So who cares? Everyone for watching it. And, of course, thanks to the co-host for being on here today. So we're going to get out of here. And we will see y'all. Well, y'all can hear us next Sunday, which will be, this time, it will be 90 minutes. Yep, so this next show will be 90 minutes at least. So, till then, good night, everybody.
Good night.